everybody. Thank you, Ron and Alice. Such a great lesson. You know, it reminds me that sometimes the simplest messages are the best messages. But my message isn't that message. You guys are going to be here a while. So that's for you, Nate. We're actually just in the last half of chapter 3. We covered the first half last week, so we're in the last half. Just got back from our pastor's conference. I just wanted to talk about it a little bit, just so you guys know some of the things that you guys support. And one of those is what we call Connect. It's a group I'm a part of. It's Connected Leadership Network. It is a group of senior pastors or senior ministers that come together. We're all pretty much from the restoration movement churches around the country. We got guys that are coming from as far away as Portland, Oregon, some from Canada. We all went down to Georgia this last week, and we spent 4 days in this cram-packed soul care, teaching, edification conference. It's such a great thing that I get to go be a part of. Some of the things that we talk about, we talked about leadership. We talked about don't quit. Don't, you know, sometimes pastors just get to that point where they say, I'm done. I'm done. We're at a point in our country today, in America today, where we're actually losing pastors faster than we're losing churches. There are not enough pastors to fill all the pulpits in America today right now. So pastors are struggling. They struggle through the COVID. They struggle with the stress of the job. They struggle with everything that's going on. I'm grateful for where I am. I'm grateful for our congregation. You guys are very loving. You have made my job pretty easy over the last year and a half, and I appreciate that. But that's some of the kind of things that we talk about when we talk about soul care. We talk about reminding ourselves of our moral authority, meaning that we have to maintain a moral life, that there are standards of living we have to live to as pastors that are different than the folks that we shepherd, because we're held to a higher accountability. We're held to that higher standard because we deliver the Word of God. And it's hard to do if you're not in a good moral place and standing with God. So we had some great teachings on that. I learned some great new music. We heard some wonderful music that we might be hearing here in the next few weeks. We also got to see some great places. We got great ideas. So just so you know what we want to do over the last 4 days when Pastor B was gone over the last 4 days, that's what we were doing. We usually start about 7:30, 8 in the morning, and then we run till about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And we do that for about 3 days, and then the last day is a half day, and everybody goes home. So it's a great thing. We have a great time, but it's also very educational, and it helps bring things back to the congregation for you guys so that you benefit from these things as well. So I wanted to just intro by sharing that with you this morning. And part of that sharing is also so that we stay unified in our mission. To know that the congregation, the church, the leadership is working hard for you guys so that we stay in unity, we stay in harmony with the gospel of Jesus. Because unity is a very important thing in the church. As a matter of fact, what John's going to talk about in the last half of the chapter 3, besides tying in to the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus, he's going to show us what unity looks like and how unity begins. It's this great story that's going to happen here. I'm so excited to be able to teach this to you. But before we do that, I'm going to need a volunteer. I'm going to need help from somebody. Oh, we'll stay all day, people. All right, I got two volunteers. Don't matter which one. All right, she beat you. How are you doing?
Good.
In case y'all don't know, this is Ariel. Everybody say hi, Ariel.
Hi, Ariel.
All right, that make you feel really comfortable up here now?
No.
Okay, great. That's what I wanted. All right. Ariel, I'm gonna ask you for something, okay? And you're not going to want to give it to me at first, but I really need it, okay? Can I borrow one of your shoes?
I don't think you want it, but sure.
All right. Let me borrow your shoe here. Thank you. That's a nice shoe. Got some slip. The great thing is you have the slip-on shoe, okay? I'm going to go ahead and keep this, and you go ahead and go. Oh, no, you got to keep the other one on. You got to keep the other one on because guess what? Shoes go together, don't they? One shoe is kind of a worthless thing in life, isn't it? So if you don't have shoes that are unified, you kind of walk crooked, don't you? You throw your back out, it'll mess you up because they go together. But when they're separated, they become worthless, don't they? You know what else is something that's worthless? A hairbrush without hair. Go ahead and give me that picture. Give me that first picture we got. I don't know how many of y'all remember this. All right, there's five of you that remember some VeggieTales, right? Right? Where is my hairbrush? Larry the Cucumber singing, oh, where is my hairbrush? Oh, where is my hairbrush? Oh, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where is my hairbrush? Right? Yeah, come on. Can I get an amen? Y'all love it. I love VeggieTales. Right? Well, what was the problem with Larry? Well, the peach comes in, right? And he goes, bam! That's what I'm talking about. You don't need a hairbrush. You don't have any hair. Right? That's right, because a hairbrush is worthless without hair. I'm learning that more and more every year. I don't use a hairbrush anymore. I've got a hand. And just whoop, and it's done. Unity is important in the church. Because we don't want to be separated. We don't want to be torn out. We don't want to be taken away from. See, the devil is all about disharmony and separating you out from the flock. See, that's what wolves and predators do to the flock. They single out one that they think is kind of weak, and then they separate it out from the rest, and then they kill it. Because they know that when it's away from the body, when it's away from the flock, it's at its weakest, it's most vulnerable. That's what Satan wants to do to us. He wants to create division within us. He wants to bring you inside of here, and he wants to tear us apart and throw you out so that you're all out on your own. Well, if anything we've learned over the last 2 years is that being by yourself, being isolated and separated is not a good thing. Being divided from each other is not a good thing. And I'm going to tell you, it was no different back in their day. Because Satan was using somebody to try and jump in here and cause disharmony in Jesus' ministry right off the bat. And it says this in John chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. It says this: an argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one who you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. Let's go to the Lord and ask for some wisdom on this. Father God, as we open up your word in John chapter 3, we ask that your wisdom would be present with us in this place. That you would be amongst us, that you would open our eyes to see what you would have us to see, that you would open our hearts to receive what you would have for us to receive. Let us not just take this in, but let us be forever changed by its message to look more like you and less like us. We thank you for these things and we bless you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Remember what I said, I like to kind of walk through this book, and it's in a teaching type of way. We like to teach through some of these things, and that requires audience participation, see? That's what this, so I'm going to need another volunteer. You get to keep your shoes on, so if that was holding you back, I'm going to need another volunteer now. You got to come down here, man. Don't take all day, man. I mean, people got roasts in the crock pot. Let's go. All right, we got the Fry. Yeah, Fry. Let's go, Fry.
Let's go.
Right? All right, good. Good. Fry, Fry is a pretty good kid. I like Fry.
Thank you.
So let me ask you something, Fry. What's your favorite food? What's your favorite type of food? I mean, besides the awesome American food you've been eating here lately.
Andrea's
food. That's a good answer, bud, right there.
You know.
You're going to make a good husband someday. Right? What kind, though? What kind of food is your best? Is the best she makes? Like, give me a style.
A style?
Yeah, like Mexican, American. Mexican food?
Mexican food.
All right, you're wrong.
I'm wrong.
It's seafood.
Seafood.
Seafood is the best food, right?
For you, maybe.
No. That's just it. That's the end all be all, right?
If you like it, yeah.
Okay, so it is. So, but you said Mexican, right?
Right.
So now you're arguing with me about it, right?
Right.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Thanks, bud.
Yep.
All right, anybody else favorite food? You're done. You're good. Right. Anybody else favorite food? Italian, you're wrong. It's seafood. Right? What?
Mexican,
you're wrong. It's barbecue. Chinese, you're wrong. You're definitely wrong. All right, Chinese is like the worst food on the planet, right? See, but look here. Look how fast we can get into an argument. Look how fast division can enter in over something so silly. Now, I have seen people really argue about that kind of stuff. If you don't believe me, just flick on down through your Facebook stream and see all the ridiculous arguments over stupidest things in this world that matter for nothing. Isn't it funny how Satan can seep in so quickly? But we know the church is above that, amen? Yeah, you're wrong. I've seen churches break over what version of the Bible a pastor reads from the pulpit. I've seen members leave a church because we changed the color of the carpet, and they got angry. I got a guy who, lady left the church because the drummer was barefoot on Sundays. Isn't it funny how Satan sneaks in with this division? It's exactly what's going on here in John chapter 3. Satan's trying to start an argument between Jesus and John about who's the best. That's really what it comes down to. That's what this is all about. And so we see this beginning in chapter 3 and verse 22. And it says this, after this, reading down through 25, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where they spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. So a couple of things right here. After this means that this is after the conversation of Nicodemus. It didn't go too long, but then they're out in the countryside. So I had this great conversation with Nicodemus about salvation, and it's all about Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus. You've got to be born again, right? How are we born again? We're born of the what and the what? Water and the Spirit, right? Very good. Water and the Spirit, very good. Born of the water, have to be born of the Spirit. The only way to do that is come through Christ Jesus, right? Must die to ourselves, be reborn in the Spirit. Very good. Only way we can do that is to what? Believe in Jesus. Very good. All right, we recap. Now we're here. So after this, it's the Jesus ministry. See, he didn't pause. He went from one to the next, to the next, to the next. He was doing the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And so they were out here. And what's funny about this, as John's reading this, in verse 23, when he says, now John was baptizing in Aenon near Salim. That word Salim, anybody know what that word means? Any scholars out there? No, Salim. Another word we're saying, the word is Salam. As-salam alaikum, anybody? No? Shalom? That'd be the Jewish word. Anybody know what that means? Peace. Salim and shalom both mean peace. So they're in this place called Aenon, right? Near Salim, meaning peace. And what do they have? They have an argument. See, that's the irony of it all. They're sitting in this valley, and they're out in this place in these springs, and they're baptizing people, and they're having a great time, and people are coming to Jesus, and they're coming to John, and in between themselves, and they're like across the water from each other, and they're all baptizing. And there's a bunch that are starting to go to Jesus, and John's crowd's starting to shrink down. And of course, the Jews are already mad at Jesus because he's starting to have this ministry that's taken off, and they're starting to get jealous. And so this Jew comes out to John, and he starts to argue. All this while Jesus is in the middle of his ministry prepping the bride for the wedding. Jesus isn't focused on who's more important. He's focused on the message God gave him to give. See, he's prepping the bride for the wedding. See, his ministry never stopped. Nothing was going to deter him from the ministry. And it was going to take a while. He's going to take this great message. It's going to take 3 years. He's going to have to build on this message. And so in the middle of his preparation, this is going to happen. And so here he is. He's prepping the bride for restoration. You know, I remember my wedding. Let's bring that picture up. It's not my wedding picture, but it's close. I didn't have any wedding pictures. We really need some wedding pictures on Facebook, all right? This is me and my wife. We weren't married yet, okay? This is 2 days, or no, this is the day before I get done with basic training. I'm heading out, getting ready to get shipped up to Wichita Falls. But this is Andrea and me. I know you don't believe it, but that's me, okay? Now there's like two of me, but you know, that's Andrea. We're out at the fountain. This is in San Antonio. This is about, what was this? This was July, so it's about 6 months before we got married. I still look like this when I got married. See, I was false advertising, okay? All right, but that's okay because I got her in. I got her trapped. It's all good. I remember when we were getting married, though. I remember that anticipation for me, right? So I'm sitting there all day. I'm hanging out with my family, right? Wedding was that? Was it? What wedding was that? What, five? Four or five? Something like that? Yeah, it was five. I think it was five because the sun did go down. So it's about 5 o'clock. It's in March. Okay, so the sun doesn't stay up long. So we're in March. Okay, March 12th. That's right. I know my anniversary date. All right, y'all should know yours, 1996. Okay, all right. Getting ready to be married 26 years this year. Okay, I got them all right. Now, thank you. Thank you. Because I care about my marriage, man. I pay attention to it, you know. If you don't know yours, you must not care. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But my wife's preparing. So here it is. It's like we got to be at the church at 4. It's like 3:45, right? And I'm still not dressed because that's the man, okay? I just have to throw clothes on. It's all good. All right, I slap my clothes on. I get to the church. I'm standing around. Talking to people, talking to this people. Then you know what? Then it's like, you know, 15 minutes before, and then they take you up front, and you got to stand up front, and you got to wait some more, right? Because the bride was being prepared. I had the anticipation of it. See, the people, as they're standing here, and they're starting to be baptized, they're full of this anticipation because the bride is coming. The bride is the church of Christ. Okay, Christ is forming his church. He's prepping the bride right now. That's what the baptisms were about. He hadn't died. He had not been resurrected yet. So it was a different baptism then than it is now because he hadn't died. He hadn't been resurrected. But here they are, and they're prepping, and he's showing them the way forward, and he's teaching them what they need to know. They're preparing the bride, just like my wife when she was being prepared for the wedding. She took all day. Wasn't allowed to see her. So, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm excited, I'm full of zeal, I'm ready to see this thing that I've been promised. I've been promised this beautiful woman, and she's going to be mine, I'm going to be a part of this. And there she was being prepared. And she ate the Arby's, right? Didn't get it on herself, so that was good. She put her dress on. She's got people there doing her hair. They're doing her makeup. That's what Jesus is doing. He was beautifying the bride in preparation for the marriage. In this beautiful event, in this beautiful surrounding. Jesus' disciples, and it wasn't Jesus baptizing, by the way, it was his disciples. We'll see that in chapter 4. But his disciples are baptizing people, and John's disciples are baptizing people, and they're all coming to this word of God, and they're coming to this beauty of God, and here comes this argument right in the middle of it all. Satan trying to destroy the message based on some rule of purification. I'm sure he came out there and said, who are you to be out here doing this? And not only that, then he throws the sizzler in there. I love that one, the sizzler. The sizzler comes in. And that's, oh, well, all these people are going over to Jesus instead of you. How does that make you feel? Right? Let me throw some jealousy. Nothing like the disharmony than throw a little jealousy in, right? Amen. And so they throw it in there and challenges Jesus' authority. But John responds and he says, there's just one baptism. It doesn't matter who's doing it. There's just one. And it's here in John 3, verse 26 and 27. And it says this. And they came to John and they said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one who you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. And John replied, a person can receive only what is given to him from heaven. See, baptizing wasn't a new thing. They've been doing this since the law. The ceremonial washing. The priest had to wash before they went on duty. People that were Gentiles that wanted to become Jews had to be washed and become clean to become a Jew. They had to do that. So this baptism thing wasn't a new thing. Matter of fact, 2 Kings 5 verse 10 says this, Elisha sent a messenger to him, which is the king. He said, go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. See, this was a baptizing. When he says go wash yourself, he's saying go baptize. Go dunk yourself in the Jordan 7 times. So baptism wasn't a new thing. But it's always been associated with cleanliness, with the wiping away. That's why Jesus instituted it as his participation in death, burial, and resurrection, the participation of his death and his blood being poured out, that we may be washed anew. Matter of fact, we've talked about ritual cleansing recently. Does anybody remember what we talked about, what it was from chapter 1? Temple? No. That was chapter 2. That was when he's tossing temple table, okay? This is chapter 1. They were using something, and Jesus turned some something to something. The water to wine, okay? What did they turn them in? The jars, right? Very good. They were stone, not clay, remember? Because stone was for ceremonial washing, because if it was clay, it would have to be destroyed and burnt. But they were stones, so you could reuse them, cleanse them and reuse them, scour them and reuse them. Very good, right? So now all this is starting to come into play. They had a problem kind of with that, and now they got a problem with this. Okay? You got the ceremonial thing. Jesus is washing away the sins of the world. See, it's all about that. See how that stuff starts tying together in the Bible? When we say read things in context, these are those connections that we're making. John doesn't write anything in chapter 1 that won't connect the dots to all the rest of the chapters in the book. That's the amazing thing about the Bible. That's how it's so powerful. And that's how folks can't come in here and say, oh, that message is disjointed and doesn't make any sense. It's all connected. And so we have this washing now, this ceremony going on now. And it's the one baptism. Because John's sitting here telling him, he says, look, I'm just baptizing what was given to me. I'm just baptizing in the name of Jesus. I'm just in here doing what he called me to do. It belongs to him anyway. It's his message. See, this is that one word that comes along in verse 28 and 29. It clarifies and says this, you yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens to him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He's saying it doesn't belong to me anyway. I'm not jealous of Jesus. I rejoice with him. I'm Jesus's buddy. It's not mine. I don't own that. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus. One of the things that I had to learn in becoming a pastor, and it's a tough lesson to learn, and that's the fact that it's not my ministry. I'm simply a steward of Christ's ministry. I'm an extension of His word. I proclaim His word and His word alone. It's not mine. I can't possess it. I can't own it. You know, folks ask me sometimes, hey, can we do a funeral, but we want to ask this person to come in and preach it? Okay. Church doesn't belong to me. I have no ownership of it. I'm not jealous and somebody else wants to come in. If somebody wants to come and deliver a word on a Sunday, go ahead. It's not my pulpit. It's not my people. I'm just here to shepherd. I'm here to love. I'm here to be that extension of Christ, to be that reflection of Christ. I can't own it. That's how we stay humble. That's how we stay in His will. That's how we prevent division. We realize it doesn't belong to me. You know, it's this, I'm guilty. Look, I'm talking to myself. But this my church phenomenon. Ask any Christian when they meet each other. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? Outside of church services. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Yeah, I'm Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah? Where do you go to church? Well, my church is right over here in Silver Lake. It's the Baptist church. Oh, yeah, well, my church is over here in Roxville. It's the Christian church. I'm guilty. Guilty, y'all, because in America, we think we possess everything. And so we use possessive language toward it. But when I said my church, I have to stop and think, I didn't die for it. I don't own it. It doesn't belong to me. I've only been given stewardship. I've been given responsibility to love and give the word of the one who does. You know, I got a truck. This is my truck. I got a picture of Fraw, too. This is the only picture of my truck I had. All right? The truck's in the background. That's my truck. That's not my Fraw, okay? He belongs to somebody else. I'm just borrowing him for a little bit, okay? And if he doesn't behave himself, I'm going to send him home, all right? I'm just kidding, Fraw. You're doing all right. That's my truck in the background, though. And that's what we say, that's my truck. You know, the reality of it ain't my truck. That truck belongs to the bank. And even when I pay that truck off, that truck belongs to the government because I have to pay taxes on that truck every single year. And if you don't think so, don't pay your taxes and see who comes and takes it. It really doesn't belong to me. I can sell it, and then I don't have responsibility for it anymore. And I can take money from that, but it really doesn't ever belong to me. You know, I got my kids, too. I love my kids. I don't think I put my kids' pictures up there. I got a little short on time. But I got my boys in the back, Saint. Wave, everybody, Saint. Everybody say, hi, Saint. All right, I do got Fraw. He's my son on loan. Okay. Y'all saw him earlier. I got my two daughters grown up, beautiful girls. I love them to death, Brie and Adriana. But you know what? They're not my children. They're God's children. They belong to Him. They've been given to me to shepherd and take care of. You know, when I start to think of that, I start to begin to realize there's a higher level of responsibility. For, you know, if they just belong to me, then that's fine. Then they can be whatever and they can die and it's no big deal. But if they belong to God and we stand in eternity together and I have to answer for how I raised them to God, that brings a whole lot new weight on it, doesn't it? Folks, it's the same thing when we're talking about whether it's John's testimony here saying that I am not the Messiah, but the bridegroom belongs to the bride belongs to the bridegroom. He's saying the church belongs to Jesus. When we think about that, about our congregation right here, it's not ours. We are simply stewards over this congregation. That's purely it. So that when we realize that, division has no place. Because guess what? Then nobody from anywhere can come in here and try and drive that stake in, right? Nobody can come in here and start acting the fool and say, well, you know what? This so-and-so over here, you know, he preaches better than so-and-so over here. And all of a sudden there's jealousy ensues and people are leaving the church, right? When we realize it doesn't belong to us and it's not ours, but we get to participate in God's ministry here in this place, we begin to realize that the little knick-knacky things that we argue over don't mean anything. Now, granted, blessings, we haven't had to worry about that here, but I'm driving it home now because the time to drive this message home is now when we have peace, not in the middle of disharmony because you won't hear it. So you need to hear it now because I've been in the disharmony, y'all. I don't ever want us to be there. I've been in disharmony over the silliest of things. We've been in disharmony over music. Does it praise Jesus? Then what does it matter? I've been in disharmony over chairs versus pews. Seems like a silly argument, don't it? Been disharmony over the color of paint on a wall in a room that nobody was even using. Because we thought we owned it. And we didn't. It didn't belong to us. The building doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. You know, when a church closes, the building doesn't go to anybody. Right? It has to go to another church or has to be sold outright, and the monies has to be distributed to another congregation. No one individual gains any possession off from this building or the things within it because it belongs to God. Amen. You belong to God too. Your ministry belongs to God because it's not yours. In the end, it's God's. And that's why John 3:30 is so important. Here's the wrap-up of that. He must become greater and I must become less. That's a hard message for us in America, y'all. That is a tough lesson for us in America when we drive home pride. We drive home arrogance. We drive home possession. We drive home me. Those are the things that kids are taught. Those are the things that television teaches us. Those are the things the radio teaches us. So much of that is all in this that says, I must become greater and he must become less. That's the message of Satan. Folks, we got to flip that back around, and that's why John says this, I must become less and he must become more. He must become greater, I must become less, because in the end, there's only one salvation, John 3, verse 31 through 33. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. See, he wanted to repeat that so you understood that's important. Okay? That's Jesus he's talking about. He's talking about that guy on the other side that he testified about. I love how they put it that way. You remember that guy? See, they didn't want to say Jesus because there's power in Jesus' name, amen? They didn't want to give him any of that power, so they pretended like they didn't know who he was. You know that guy. But you know what? Jesus is that guy. Trust me, he's that guy. Okay? That's right. Yeah, you're laughing. I got the young people up there. Y'all that don't watch the Facebook meeting, y'all don't get it, right? But they did. Thanks for getting that, guys. I appreciate that. High five up there. Right? Jesus, that guy, right? Trust me, he's that guy, right? Great. And he testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. And that's that Jesus is the one. He is the salvation we have been waiting for. And he is from above. Not just a prophet, but he's the Son of God, and he speaks heavenly things. And if we believe in him, we prove that he is true. Because he said, there'll be some that come to me, and there will be some that accept my message. See, he had it right. But not everyone will come, and not everyone will accept it. But God is true, because he speaks in spiritual truth. He speaks in that which he knows, which is everything, and he does not compromise. If we accept that, we accept God. And we can remove division and become unified in God. I need me one more volunteer. Give me one more. You still get to keep your shoes on. Oh, here comes Kat. Thank you, Kat. Everybody, this is Kat. Everybody say, hi, Kat. You nervous?
No.
Okay, good. You shouldn't be. Kat, I got a piece of paper right here. Grab hold of that piece of paper. I want you to go ahead and tear that piece of paper. That's pretty easy, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. All right. I got some more paper for you. Yeah. Tear that for me.
Can I open this up?
Nope.
Yeah. It ain't happening.
It ain't happening, right? That was pretty easy, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, it's funny, though, that this is the same paper, right? That's in here, right? Yeah. Why is this so easy and that ain't?
Because it's combined. More friction.
Because it's more unified.
More unified.
There hey, there you go. Very good. Thank you, Kat. That's right. It's more unified. And as a matter of fact, there may be a verse in the Bible that says something similar, and it comes from Ecclesiastes 4:12. And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him, but a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Unity in the church is so important, and it begins with us understanding that it doesn't belong to us. Our ministry is not ours, but it belongs to God, and it reveals God. And then number two, that the word of God is his authority and will always be correct. Verse 34 and through 36 says this: for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. See, when we come into God, see, this is all an example of what the bride was going to become. Right now it's Jesus, but then we transform and we become in the likeness of Jesus. Therefore, the Father loves us and has placed the word within our hands now and gives us the Spirit without limits. That's important to remember. And the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands, so everything belongs to him. And whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. The Father gave freely to Jesus all things, and Jesus gave freely to us all things in him through the Holy Spirit. That's the one salvation. But we have to accept that salvation. As a matter of fact, and as we freely give, or as we freely receive, we are to freely give. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. And as you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. So heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Why? Because it doesn't belong to you. We do and we receive from God, we freely give out. Because God has given so freely to us. That helps us to stay together. It helps us stay motivated in the Word of God. It helps us stay in the truth of God. It's one of the best things we do in our elders' meetings every month. We didn't do it at first, but beginning last year in January, we started doing it. Every time we meet at the beginning of our leadership, our elders' meetings, we talk about the Word of God. That's the first thing we do. Before any business, we pray, we talk about the Word of God. So that we are unified as the leadership
Folks, that's why we come in every Sunday to talk about the Word of God. It's so that we are unified in His love and in His Word to the world. Because in that unity is the message of the salvation of Jesus Christ. It is the one word. It is the word that keeps us together so that when we look like the world or world thinks we look like them, they kind of take a deeper look and they say, man, you're not like us at all. As a matter of fact, we're not like the office place down the way. You can't just easily quit and walk away. No, there's a commitment there. There's a unification there because when you walk away, you'll miss it. One of the things I loved most about being in the military, what we call camaraderie. We just had that down at our pastor's convention. All these pastors get together, right? We hang out every Wednesday online, and then we get together once a year. We got together, and we just, you know, we loved on each other. But one thing we like to do is we like to give each other a hard time. Right? That's when you know you've got camaraderie, because you can really mess with somebody, and they don't get offended, right? You call them names, they don't care, right? One guy was at one of our tables. We were joking around with him. He was a bald guy. Love him. His name's Jim, Jim Dewar. If you're watching, Jim, we were laughing at you this weekend. It's great. Okay. Jim Dewar is always giving everybody a hard time. He's a funny guy. Love this guy. He comes in. He's got a visor with orange hair that's connected to it, right? That's how he shows up. Okay. But he's really bald. So anyway, we were asking the question at our little table we were eating dinner at. We said, hey, you know, what would your personalized license plate be if your wife made it for you? We done asked everybody. He says more. And without missing a beat, Dave, the next guy over, says on. More on. All right, that's what we do. I know it took a second. We were all like, but we busted out laughing. Well, here's Jim, and he just kind of, he starts turning red because he's kind of got embarrassed, and his whole head, then he became Bob the Tomato. That's what we started calling him. The whole face, whole head was red. It was great. That's camaraderie. We can make fun of each other. As a matter of fact, our table became that one. James, my buddy I talk about a lot, he was there, I was there, a guy named Dave was there. We were hassling anybody that sat down at our table. At one point, people were asking us, would you like to sit here? Can we sit with you guys? Yeah. It says, it's free to sit, but there's a price to be paid, just letting you know. But you ought to hear us pray for one another. The devil couldn't get in there and tear us apart. A lot of things we don't see eye to eye on some things. But you ought to have seen us worship together. Some guys' hands raised, some guys sitting down. In prayer time, some guys laid out on the floor, some guys on their knees, some guys standing, some guys walking. We even had some ladies in there moving around, being with us. Wives were there. You see, you guys pray with each other, just weeping with each other. One guy, his daughter has cancer in the brain. He gave his testimony, man, just tears flowing from everybody. Folks, that's the church. That's the unity and the joy. We rejoice with one another. In the sadness, we cry with one another. We don't let the silly things get in and divide us. We don't let Satan get in and divide us. That's what he wants, and we're not going to have it, amen? We're going to be building each other up and encouraging each other so that we cannot be defeated, so that no matter what comes in, nothing's going to divide us. So when we hear words like COVID, and we hear words like vaccines, or we hear words like masks, or we hear words like whatever it is, Republican or Democrat, it isn't going to divide us. It isn't going to tear us apart, because we're focused on the one word. We're focused on the one baptism. We're focused on the one Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we're there, nothing can tear us apart. Nothing can come in. Nothing can separate us from that love of God. So that we can be one. Together, we lift each other up, and we will save the world. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, the flawless nature of your baptism, and the beautiful, beautiful unity you bring to us. If we would just accept your word and your name and your salvation, We would just come to you, lay it all before you with open arms and say, you are my Lord Jesus. We love you. Just give it all away. Let us be unified, that the world may see us and say, man, that's different. I want that. That your glory would reign forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have our time of invitation. Time for you to respond to the word that's been given. And first part of that is if you're not in Christ Jesus today, this is your time. Well, you hear a message like that, you just wonder, how does somebody not respond? If you're not in Christ today, today's the day to just give your heart to the Lord. Say, I want to be in Jesus Christ. Maybe today you just need prayer on your life. Maybe you're in Christ Jesus. You just need prayer on your heart. This is what this is for. You know, we have a responding call for our pastors. We all need prayer, y'all. Maybe you have a story and you want to rejoice with us. Whatever the case is this morning, will you come and honor the Holy Spirit by answering the call?